It's been a great week, hasn't it? It's been an incredible week, and it's so good to just be here and experience all that God has done. And I want to again thank you guys for letting me be here with you this week. I've had a blast, and thank you for being such good listeners every night and getting in and worshiping and going after God in the altar. When you seek God, you find God. And every night, as you've been pressing in a little bit more and just going after God, you've been finding God. And the Bible says that God's not a respecter of persons. That's why, you know, I get the privilege of traveling oftentimes all across the world. I will find young people that have more spiritual maturity. They're further along in their walk with Christ than some of the senior adults I find. Because God is not a respecter of persons. If you come to Him at 12, 13 years old, 14, whatever your age is, and you say, God, I want everything that you have, and I'm going all in, God just says, I'll take you for your word. And the more you seek me, the more I'll show you who I am, the more I'll fill you with my characteristics, with my spirit and power. So thank you for doing that every night. And let's just do it again tonight as we see all that God has for us. If you've got your Bible, we're going to look at Ezra chapter 3, verse 3 tonight. One simple verse, Ezra chapter 3, verse 3. Nope, that would be last night. There we go. We're not going to talk about goats tonight because I still have goat poo on my shoe, all right? Ezra chapter 3, verse 3 says this, even though the people were afraid of the local residents, they rebuilt the altar at its old site. What happened is the people of God were taken captive out of their homeland, into a country called Babylon, and eventually they were allowed to go back to their home, but their altars were tore down. And in this verse, we find that even though the culture around them was causing them to be afraid and a little timid, they made a decision that they were going to rebuild the altars. They were going to rebuild the altars. So tonight, we're going to talk about altars. Father, I thank you for meeting us here this week. And God, tonight, we just say, do what you want to do. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, speak to our lives. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Altars are a place where we worship. They are a place where we encounter God. In Bible times, in the Old Testament, they would set up altars similar to kind of what we have back here, just a stone altar that kind of served as a monument where they would where people would come and they would meet God, they would worship God. All throughout the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Gideon, on and on, we could go throughout the Bible. When people would have encounters with God, right? Like where they would meet God and God would speak to their life and change their lives, often what they would do is they would build an altar in that spot, that very spot. And they would say, this is the place where I met with God. And then when they would come to that altar, it would be a symbol for them, a reminder of this is where I met God. And this is where God changed my life. And often they would come back to these altars, and that's where they would worship. That's where they would meet with God. When the children of Israel, when God was leading them through the Jordan River, God gave Joshua an instruction. As that was, when you get through the river, he says, tell 12 men, which was representative of the 12 tribes, go get a huge rock, the biggest rock you can find, and bring it out of the river and place it on the embankment. And what it's going to be an altar. It's going to be a reminder of what God did for us. See, altars are sacred places for us. They are a reminder of where we come and we present ourselves to God. In the Bible, it was often where sacrifices were made. Altars represented sometimes death, where things would come and they would lay them down. See, the altar is symbolic of where I am giving myself wholly to God. I'm fully going all in with God. Back in the day, I know now we have weddings everywhere. We have weddings outside, and they're very beautiful and cool. We have weddings in barn. Traditionally, weddings were in churches, and you know where weddings were held? At the altar, right? It was symbolic. It was saying, I am giving myself wholly to my spouse. So altars are symbolic of where we meet God. But sometimes in life, guess what happens? Our altars crumble. And our altars need repair. In our verse tonight, it spoke very clearly that the people of God came back, and the altar where they were supposed to meet with God, where they were supposed to be fully submitted to God, was in need of repair. And the people made a decision in that moment. They said, we're going to build this altar back. And so tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to build some altars back. Some of you, for the first time, you're going to build some altars in your life. Some of you in the room, you're going to do some repair work on your altar. Are you ready? So let's talk about some altars. I'm going to talk to you about two of them real quickly. The first altar that I want to talk to you about is the altar of consecration. Everybody say consecration. Now, I know that consecration sounds like an old fuddy-duddy word. I mean, I know I'm talking to, you know, the generation of, you know, yeet and sus and poggers and whatever. I can't even keep up with all the words. I don't even try anymore. I just hear it. I don't roll my eyes. I throw up in my mouth. I'm just joking. But, you guys are all with all the hip lingo, and it's great. It's awesome. You can teach all of us old people how to talk. It's great. But consecration might sound like an old word, but let me explain to you what it means. See, consecration means when we give ourselves entirely to something. Not a little bit, not a portion, but we are wholly giving ourselves to something. You see, the first altar that we have to learn to build back is the altar of consecration. We would also call it the altar of commitment. In the Old Testament, God gave an instruction to the priest. And it was simply this. They were to wear this shirt, and it wasn't a Carhartt shirt, okay? It wasn't any type of brand you could think of. Their shirt or their breastplate basically said this simple phrase, holiness to the Lord. It meant this. I, as an individual, I am consecrated to my God. I'm consecrated to my God. Everybody say consecration. The altar of consecration is symbolic. It means that I am fully committed to my Savior. I am fully committed to Jesus. I'm fully committed to God. I'm fully committed to serving Him. You know, in college, for example, a lot of you are going to go to college soon. And, you know, athletes for decades have had their big reveal days, right? And I know now we do it all throughout where, you know, athletes used to put all these hats on the table. And they're like, is it going to go here? Is it going to go here? It's going to go, oh, it's going to go here. It's going to go here. And all the fans of that school would cheer wildly, you know. Excited. They were symbolic on the day of what? I choose to be committed to this school. You see, well, consecration, the altar of consecration, is where we say, I choose to be fully committed to serving Jesus Christ. It is my statement. It is my choice that I'm saying I'm going to be committed. You see, it's where you are not half-hearted. It's where you cross the line and you say, I'm going all the way in. A couple years ago, we did a polar plunge in the month of January with our kids. And I said, hey, the water was 42 degrees. And I said, here's the deal. You can't touch it. You can't touch the water with your toes. You can't touch the water with your hands. We're only doing this one way. You're going fully in, right? And we did it. It was a blast. It was fun to watch. I'll say that, okay? But that's what commitment is, right? I'm going all the way in. That's what this altar is. For some of you, tomorrow night, You are going to choose to be baptized. And baptism is symbolic of saying, I'm going all the way in with Christ. I'm a new creation with Christ. Consecration is when we dedicate ourselves to the Lord. But here's the deal. If you don't build this altar, if you don't build the altar of consecration, if all Jesus is to you is just, you know, it's an experience, it was excitement and hype, and you don't put some effort into building the altar of consecration, what happens is that you will just go right back into all the stuff that God brought you out of. Like we talked about the woods this week, right? Okay, like God set some of you free, brought you out of the woods. He did it 100%. There's no doubt about it. But if you don't build the altar of consecration in your life, when we leave this place, you will go right back into the woods. You see, the culture that we live in, Romans says that don't be conformed to this world. There is a strong current of this world that will quickly pull you away from Jesus. You ever thought about when we go to water parks? What's the number one ride for adults when you go to water parks? It's not the big drop-off, right, that we love with all the thrills and excitements. It's the what? The lazy river. Because what do you do in the lazy river? Nothing. Right? Absolutely. But guess what you get? You get a ride. Listen to me tonight, young people. You don't learn to build the altar of consecration or repair the altar of consecration and commitment in your life, you will get a ride. And it'll be in the wrong direction. Take you into all the wrong places, further than you ever wanted to do. Plus, some of you this week, you got rid of some things. You got rid of some addictions and problems and bad habits. You got rid of some old stinky goats, some old habits, some generational curses have been broken off of a lot of you in this room. But hear me tonight, if you don't build the altar of consecration in your life, that junk will come back. In fact, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26 that as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Any of you ever seen a dog eat its own vomit? It's one of the sickest things you've ever seen before. You're like, what is wrong with that animal? All the cat lovers are like, see, I told you dogs were stupid. I remember one time when I was a youth pastor, I was like, I want my kids to understand this. I grabbed one of my youth workers before church. We planned this for a couple weeks. I took a hot water bottle and we filled it full of Campbell's chunky soup, strapped it to his body, put his clothes back on. And, you know, we went into youth service that night and we played it up big time. We're like, hey, pray for Brother Jerry before service starts. He's not feeling very good, but I'm so glad he's committed. He loves you guys. He's here. He's fighting through it. And then we do work. Worship, we go into the message and we're preaching, and I'm talking about this verse right here about, you know, when God sets you free, be committed to God. Don't go back into that same garbage. It's gross. It's sick. That's not what God intended. And Brother Jerry stands up in the back and he's like, guys, sorry, I gotta check out and go home. And he takes a couple steps and then he hits his chest and starts what the kids think of throwing up, okay, all over. And then I get down on the floor and start eating it, and he starts eating it too. And my illustration backfired because then I had a bunch of kids actually really puking all over the place. But you know, those kids are in their 20s and 30s right now. They still remember that night. Listen, when God brings you out of your junk and those old goats and out of the woods, don't go back into it. We said it last night. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has set you free. Don't go back into all that garbage. Well, how do we do that? Listen, we do that by building this altar right here. Listen, roller coasters are great, but leave them at Disney World. Leave them at Six Flags. Say no to the River Point roller coaster. Some of you in this room, you've been coming to River Point for years and years and years and years, and you do the River Point roller coaster, where it's, okay, I'm all about Jesus when I'm here, but then it doesn't take a couple weeks for you're back, and you're right back into your same old junk, same old habits, and the only way it's going to change is if you build this altar right here. The only way. My altar of commitment, my altar of consecration, my altar where I'm saying God is number one in my life. You can laugh at it, you can make fun of it, but he's the God that I'm going to serve. And we have to learn to build the altar of consecration. You see, this altar will not build itself. This altar will not build itself. And I can't build this altar for you. Your youth pastors can't build this altar for you. Your mom and your dad can't build this altar for you. I love all four of my kids to death. I would give my life for them. I can't build this altar for Chase, Maya, Callie, and Jackson. They can't stand before God one day and say, hey, you know who my dad is. Let me in. Nope. They're going to have to build their own altar. I had to learn how to build my own altar. I remember in my life, I still remember the spot where I was at in Pensacola, Florida, when I was 15 years old, where God arrested me in that moment. And I said, God, from here on out, I am committing myself to you. I am consecrated. I built an altar right there. I built an altar, and I remember when I went home, and I remember building my altar of consecration in my bedroom. You see, that's why I love your theme this year of sparks, because as Brandon said on night one, we're believing God to set a spark on the inside of your heart. You see, when I went home and I said, listen, God, I've grown up in church. I've been in church my entire life, but it's different for me now because I'm going all in. I'm going to be committed to you. And I started learning how to build an altar of consecration. You know what my simple prayer was? God, don't let the fire burn out. That's what I kept praying. See, some of you, when you go home tonight, when you go home this week, you need to go home and in your bedroom, and you need to build an altar in your bedroom. Doesn't mean you got to get bricks, but what I'm saying is build yourself an altar of consecration in your room and start meeting with Jesus. Start learning how to encounter God. We've neglected this altar far too long. Listen, there are times in my life where I have neglected the altar of consecration. There have been times in my life where I've been so busy doing God stuff, preaching, teaching, working with students, and I've neglected my own altar of consecration. You can't neglect this altar. This is the altar where we learn to experience God. This is the altar. Jesus said that Jesus often would go away, and he would dismiss, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 14, he would dismiss the crowd. He would dismiss the crowd, and you know what he'd do? He would go by himself and pray. You know what Jesus was working on? His altar of consecration. He was like, I love all you guys, and I love being with you, but I need time to be alone with God. You see, you've got to learn to build the altar of consecration. You've got to learn to dismiss whatever it is. Fill in the blank. What is it that you need to learn to dismiss so that you can work on this altar? Everybody say consecration. See, this is where we learn how to pray. This is where we learn how to get God's word on the inside of us. You say, I don't even know what it's like to pray with God. Just start by talking to him. You know what I did way back in the day? I used a cassette tape. You guys don't even know what that is. Google it when you get home and you get internet access. I had a cassette tape, and I took my favorite, like, worship songs from camp, all right? And I put them on this cassette, and I didn't even really know how to pray, but I knew that I liked music, and I would put that song on, and I would just start walking and talking to God. And you know what I was doing? I was building an altar of consecration. I didn't even know what to say, but I was just like, Jesus, I love you. And I don't want this fire to burn out. I want to serve you. I'm going to school, and you know what that's like, God. I need your help. I need your strength. And he would meet me there. Listen, do not forsake the altar of consecration. Let me talk to some of my church kids in the room who you have grown up in this stuff. Some of you have neglected the altar of consecration. You've left the altar of prayer And you're like, I just wonder why I'm always struggling and why I'm always going through difficult times. Because you've neglected this altar. This is where we meet Jesus. This is where we get our strength. This is where we receive our power. You say, well, I don't even know what to pray about. You know what is incredible? Is that if we really love Jesus and we really read our word, we learn that Jesus, when he left, he knew that we'd have that same struggle. And he said, I'm actually going to send you somebody that will help you. His name's going to be the Holy Spirit. And Jesus actually said that followers of Jesus, that once he left, that in his name they would cast out demons and they would also speak in new tongues, meaning that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, a helper who would help them. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he helps us to pray. So listen, some of you in this room, I don't got time to do a teaching on the Holy Spirit, but some of you know what the Holy Spirit is. Hear me tonight. Don't be embarrassed of the Holy Spirit. Don't be embarrassed to be Pentecostal. Do you know what the word Pentecostal means? It's really creepy and freaky. It comes from the word Pentecost. And do you know what it means? 50. That's what Pentecost means. 50. How scary is that? It's a number. Right? But how come when we say Pentecostal and Holy Spirit, like we're like, ooh, creepy. You got me there. I'm out of this conversation. No, listen. At the altar of consecration, there is a person on the inside of you who can help you and wants to meet with you. And don't you ever be embarrassed of it. You hear me tonight? Everybody say consecration. You with me tonight? With me, say yes. The second altar is the altar of holiness. Everybody say holiness. Holiness is not about perfection. Holiness is not about being perfect. But here's what holiness is. Holiness is about making a choice. Making a choice to be set apart. We can't make ourselves perfect. We can't make ourselves blameless. But what we can do is we can choose to be holy and choose the holiness of God. You see, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah said like this. He said, before I formed you, this is what the Lord told him. In the womb, I knew you before you were born, and I actually set you apart. Meaning that when we come to God and we say yes to God's plan, that we are set apart. That's literally what the word holiness means. Holiness is not like this list of, well, if you do this or you don't do this, then that makes you holy. Holiness is not this set of outside parameters like, oh, I look at that person and they're holy. That's not what holiness means. Holiness is an attitude of our heart. It's actually a choice. It's a choice out of the altar of consecration where you're saying, I am dedicated to God. And because of that, I make a choice to live a holy life. A life that is set apart to God. And in our generation today, we cannot neglect this altar. Listen, hear me really clearly tonight. We can't neglect the altar of holiness. We can't neglect the altar of holiness because here is why. Holiness is actually not an option. Holiness is not an option. Here's what the Bible says. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. That wasn't the scripture I needed. I'll talk about that later. But here is what the Bible says about holiness, that we are to be holy because God is holy. And the Bible also teaches us that without holiness, we won't actually see the Lord. So holiness for us is not an option. But see what our culture today wants to do? Our culture wants to intimidate us to not have standards. You know, in our verse that we read tonight, what the scripture said is that even though the people there were causing fear and causing them to be afraid, they still built the altar, right? And our culture today, our culture wants to intimidate you from having standards in your life. from standing up with what you believe. I'm dealing with, I told you earlier in the week, some of the things when we talked about sexual immorality and some of the things we're dealing with in our culture today, I'm dealing with them right now, where people are saying, well, if you believe that, then you must be homophobic or transphobic, or you must hate people. I don't hate people. I love God. But see, our culture wants to use fear to keep you from building this altar. You see, we have to have standards in our life. So here's the theology of today. Our theology of today is that we can have both and. Meaning this, I'll have a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of the world. But you can't have both. You can't serve two masters. You see, we kind of have a country music theology today in our world, right? Where it's, I raised my hand, I said a prayer, I went to the bar, saw the girl with the blonde hair, drove my truck, hit a skunk, got drunk, but I love Jesus. See, with Jesus, there is no I love Jesus and, or I love Jesus but. At the altar of holiness, we make a choice to dedicate our lives to God and to live a life that's set apart. And you can't serve two masters. Why would I want to take a drink out of this bottle of water if it says 99% purified water, 1% manure? But yet we keep settling for this garbage where we want to have both. And we are the ones who are struggling from it. We are the ones who are dealing with the issues. Are you hearing me tonight? The commandments of God are not burdensome. See, when we talk about holiness, people are like, that's old. That's old fashioned. That's hard. That's rules. That's regulations. No, it's not. The commandments of God are not burdensome. They're there so that we can have life. They're there that so that we can experience the fullness of God. You see, you got to have some parameters in your life. You got to have some safety rails in your life. God's grace is amazing. His grace is amazing. But listen, it's not to be a floor mat for us to wipe our feet all over. Well, I'll just do it because I know I'll just, that's not, you're missing out. Titus says the grace of God that brings us to salvation also teaches us to say no to ungodliness. You see, you got to have some guardrails in your life. You got to have some boundaries in your life. Let me give you two in the area of holiness, and then we're going to wrap it up. You see, there's got to be some areas where we have to learn to be set apart. Can we talk for just a minute about relationships? Just a minute about relationships. One of my favorite quotes on relationships, and it's so true. If you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. If you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You see, you have to make a choice. Holiness comes down to a choice. You got to make a choice to who you hang around with, to who you associate yourself with. I know what some of you are saying, oh, I get it. You're one of those holier than thou, run around with your nose up in the air, too stuck. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is that you carefully choose those that you are closest to. In fact, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that do not plow with an ox and a donkey yoked together. The Bible says in Proverbs, the righteous people should choose their friends wisely, right? Like, oxes and donkeys aren't yoked together. Sometimes we just need a good old little King James version to help us understand it a little bit more. And the problem with some of you is you keep wondering why I keep struggling, why I keep riding the roller coaster of up and down and all around, and you're texting your youth pastor, I'm so depressed, and I don't know why, and I don't know why this is happening. This is, well, you know why? You're yoked up with a bunch of hee-haws. We talked last night about influence. And those influencers are pulling you down. Are you with me? They're pulling you down. You see, holiness matters. Purity matters. We talked last night about sexual immorality. Listen, young ladies, young men, when you go to set out on a relationship, all right? We said junior camp was last week, right? At some point in life, right? You know, 2 weeks ago, kids camp, the boys are running around, okay? And they're running from all the cooties, right? You know, and then by the time you get to high school, they don't notice the cooties, they notice the booties, okay? And it's a natural change in life. It's supposed to happen. I mean, I met my wife at a camp. She was the nurse. You know how many times I had to go to the nurse's station that week? Every time I got an opportunity. I mean, I got a sunburn, I got a splinter, whatever I could do to get to the nurse's station. But hear me, have some standards. Holiness matters. Purity matters. Even trash gets taken out once a week. Come on. Set some standards for your life. Young ladies, don't date guys when you're out with them and quickly you realize he's only saved from the waist up. Tell him to take a hike. He needs to go build an altar of consecration. You tell him, you go build an altar of dedication and consecration, then we might talk. Stop lowering your standards. Stop settling. So I know you're single and you want to mingle. You're slender and you want to get on Tinder. But have some standards. Have some standards for your life. Holiness matters. Purity matters. Don't just do something. Listen, hear me tonight. Don't just do something about your singleness. Do something with your singleness. Stop looking for Mr. or Miss Right and allow God to create you into Mr. or Miss Right. And then he will bring you Mr. or Miss Right. You want to do God's job? Good luck. Good luck. But let God handle it. Oh, but I feel the Holy Spirit. Are you sure it's the Holy Spirit? Most of the time, it's the horny spirit. I'm just going to call it like it is. I'm going to call it like it is. So set some standards. Set some standards for your life. And get people in your corner who will talk to you like that. Who will say, clean up your act. I saw what you're doing. I saw how you're acting and beating. Clean it up. Get those people in your life that are going to speak truth. Are you with me? You see, God can help you. I love this prayer of Habakkuk. Habakkuk said this prayer. Some of you need to make this your prayer. He said, the Lord God's my strength. You guys can go ahead and get ready. He's my strength, and he's going to make my feet like deer's feet. You know what some of you need in the area of relationship? You need deer's feet. Meaning, if you find yourself in a situation that you know you're starting to compromise your standards and it's not the right place, you find yourself where you were just going to the party that you thought was a clean party and you quickly realize it's not a good party, you know what you need? You need deer's feet. And you need to get yourself out of that society. You need to get yourself out of that atmosphere. We're talking about the altar of holiness. Can I tell you about one more area where we have to have some standards? As we close, we have to learn to have some standards of holiness and what we are taking in to our mind and into our hearts. You know, I laugh with Brandon because Brandon lives in Steelville, and Brandon tells me he doesn't lock his door. But Brandon lives in the country. He'll lock his door now because I told everybody. Actually, he's changed. He locks his front door now. But, you know, I lived for almost the last decade in DFW, and I love my neighbors. Like, I'm friends with my neighbors, but I lock my front door because I don't want just anybody having access to my house. I don't want anybody having access to my four kids, my wife that I'm there to protect. But why is it that we fail to establish standards and guidelines for what we're bringing into this house right here, into our heart and into our minds? You gotta establish some filters. You gotta establish some filters, because if you don't, your mind, you don't even realize it, but your mind starts picking up on things. You know, my generation always, you know, we'd have arguments about music, and my generation would always say, we just like it for the beat. We're not even listening to the words. We just like it. I remember one time I was using a song in a sermon illustration for a very specific reason, and I had heard it, and a couple of weeks later, I was praying, and this song came into my head, and I was like, I was like, oh, this is cool. And this beat started coming up. And then these words started coming to my mouth. And the words were, I was going to go to school, but then I got high. Da, da, da. And I was like, I've never got high a day in my life. Like, where's this coming from? Because guess what happens? When you open your eyes, your ears to certain things, they come in and they start making themselves a home inside of you. So you have to establish some guidelines. The Bible says, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, think about those things. I don't think Cardi B falls under that category. I don't think the garbage she's dropping would fall under the category of whatever is pure and whatever is holy. And since we're speaking of B, why don't we just speak about Justin B? He can go ahead and take his peaches and take a hike. I don't need to know where he got his peaches and where he got his weed. Why do I need to listen to that? Well, I like his voice. You're taking garbage in. Guess what's going to happen? Garbage is going to come out. Garbage comes in, garbage is going to come out. And so you got to set some filters. You say, Pastor Randy, you sound like you're mad tonight. I'm not mad. I promise you, I'm not mad. I'm not upset. But I do want to help you. I am mad about the spirits of this age that we live in that deceive some of us and are taking us down paths where God never intended for us to go. We got to build the altar of holiness. Are people going to make fun of you? And I'm closing. Are people going to make fun of you? Absolutely. Are people going to laugh at you? They will. Will it be hard sometimes? It will. When you're in it long enough, you realize that at the end of the day, you are making a choice to pick up your cross and to follow Jesus. Back in the day, in this very room, they would sing this really old song, and it would go like this. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And that's what those words were, just simple. But what they were saying was, I'm building an altar in my life that says, I'm following Jesus, and I'm not turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. These ancient altars of consecration and the altars of holiness are where you will learn to come back and meet God. And this is where you get your strength. This is where you are sustained and where you get what you need to continue to serve God. Would you stand with me tonight? Just bow your heads tonight. While no one's looking around, you know, this room is full of adults and youth workers who would absolutely love to build these altars for you. But at the end of the day, they can't. You have to build your altar. You got to build your altar of consecration. You have to build your altar of holiness where you say, I'm making a choice to choose the standards of God and His Word, regardless of how silly our culture thinks it is, regardless of what anyone may say, this is the choice that I make. And you have to make that decision. Would you just right there in your seat, would you just start to worship God in your own way? I feel the presence of God just coming into the room. Just do it from right there. Come on, just do it from your seat. If you feel like lifting your hands, lift your hands to God. Start building your altar right there.